Chapter 44. Even then, he was obliged to embrace the earliest opportunity of taking his friend into a window, and saying, in a nasal way, that was a part of his general debility. I want to speak to you, Gowan. I say, look here. Who is that fellow? Apostrophe apostrophe, a friend of our host's. None of mine. Apostrophe, he's a most ferocious radical, you know, apostrophe said young Barnacle. Is he? How do you know? Apostrophe, ecod, sir, he was pitching into our people the other day in the most tremendous manner. Went up to our place and pitched into my father to that extent that it was necessary to order him out. Came back to our department and pitched into me. Look here. You never saw such a fellow. Apostrophe, what did he want? Apostrophe, apostrophe, ecod, sir, apostrophe returned young Barnacle, he said he wanted to know, you know, pervaded our department without an appointment, and said he wanted to know, apostrophe, apostrophe, the stare of indignant wonder with which young Barnacle accompanied this disclosure, would have strained his eyes injuriously, but for the opportune relief of dinner. Mr. Meagles, who had been extremely solicitous to know how his uncle and aunt were, begged him to conduct Mrs. Meagles to the dining room. And when he sat on Mrs. Meagles' right hand, Mr. Meagles looked as gratified as if his whole family were there. All the natural charm of the previous day was gone. The eaters of the dinner, like the dinner itself, were lukewarm, insipid, overdone, and all owing to this poor little dull young Barnacle. Conversationless at any time, he was now the victim of a weakness special to the occasion, and solely referable to Clennam. He was under a pressing and continual necessity of looking at that gentleman, which occasioned his eyeglass to get into his soup, into his wine glass, into Mrs. Meagles' plate, to hang down his back like a bell rope, and be several times disgracefully restored to his bosom by one of the dingy men. Weakened in mind by his frequent losses of this instrument, and its determination not to stick in his eye, and more enfeebled in intellect every time he looked at the mysterious Clennam, he applied spoons to his eyes, forks, and other foreign matters connected with the furniture of the dinner table. His discovery of these mistakes greatly increased his difficulties, but never released him from the necessity of looking at Clennam. And whenever Clennam spoke, this ill-starred young man was clearly seized with a dread that he was coming, by some artful device, round to that point of wanting to know, you know. It may be questioned, therefore, whether anyone but Mr. Meagles had much enjoyment of the time. Mr. Meagles, however, thoroughly enjoyed young Barnacle. As a mere flask of the golden water in the tail became a full fountain, when it was poured out, so Mr. Meagles seemed to feel that this small spice of Barnacle imparted to his table the flavor of the whole family tree. In its presence, his frank, fine, genuine qualities paled. He was not so easy, he was not so natural, he was striving after something that did not belong to him, he was not himself. What a strange peculiarity on the part of Mr. Meagles, and where should we find another such case? At last the wet Sunday wore itself out in a wet night, and young Barnacle went home in a cab, feebly smoking, and the objectionable Gowan went away on foot, accompanied by the objectionable dog. Pet had taken the most amiable pains all day to be friendly with Clennam, but Clennam had been a little reserved since breakfast, that is to say, would have been, if he had loved her. When he had gone to his own room, and had again thrown himself into the chair by the fire, Mr. Doyce knocked at the door, candle in hand, to ask him how, and at what hour he proposed returning on the morrow. After settling this question, he said a word to Mr. Doyce about this Gowan who would have run in his head a good deal if he had been his rival. Those are not good prospects for a painter, apostrophe said Clennam. No, apostrophe returned Doyce. Mr. Doyce stood, chamber candlestick in hand, the other hand in his pocket, looking hard at the flame of his candle, with a certain quiet perception in his face that they were going to say something more. I thought our good friend a little changed, and out of spirits, after he came this morning? Said Clennam. Yes, returned Doyce. But not his daughter? Said Clennam. No, said Doyce. There was a pause on both sides. Mr. Doyce, still looking at the flame of his candle, slowly resumed. The truth is, he has twice taken his daughter abroad in the hope of separating her from Mr. Gowan. He rather thinks she is disposed to like him, and he has painful doubts, I quite agree with him, as I dare say you do, of the hopefulness of such a marriage. Clennam choked, and coughed, and stopped. Yes, you have taken cold, said Daniel Doyce. But without looking at him. There is an engagement between them, of course? Said Clennam airily. No. As I am told, certainly not. It has been solicited on the gentleman's part, but none has been made. Since their recent return, our friend has yielded to a weekly visit, but that is the utmost. Minnie would not deceive her father and mother. You have traveled with them, and I believe you know what a bond there is among them, extending even beyond this present life. All that there is between Miss Minnie and Mr. Gowan, I have no doubt we see. We see enough. Cried Arthur. Mr. Doyce wished him good night in the tone of a man who had heard a mournful, not to say despairing, exclamation, and who sought to infuse some encouragement and hope into the mind of the person by whom it had been uttered. Such tone was probably a part of his oddity, as one of a crotchety band, for how could he have heard anything of that kind, without Clennam's hearing it too? The rain fell heavily on the roof, and pattered on the ground, and dripped among the evergreens and the leafless branches of the trees. The rain fell heavily, drearily. It was a night of tears. If Clennam had not decided against falling in love with Pet, if he had had the weakness to do it, if he had, little by little, persuaded himself to set all the earnestness of his nature, all the might of his hope, and all the wealth of his matured character, on that cast, if he had done this and found that all was lost, he would have been, that night, unutterably miserable. As it was, the rain fell heavily, drearily. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.